morning, I don't know if Martha, I know they were there, and it just seemed like the tension, and I don't know if you ever remember this. I said, I just don't know how to do this right now. Because it seemed like that the expectation of everything that was around us was building into what we would maybe think would be a, let me use this word, a tornadic feeling of feeling like that everything was so disoriented around us. But yet time moved on and we seemingly sort of got back into the groove of church. We were mandated to wear masks, to take masks off. You can't go here. You got to do this here. And all that's in its place, and everybody's got an opinion about that. That's not my debate. That's not what I'm trying to debate here or even say much about. But it just seemed like that everywhere you turned, the tension was there. I talked to certain people from time to time in your jobs. Anybody's jobs changed over the last couple of years? And it's like the tension on your job is just like, it's overwhelming. And everywhere you go today, it just seems like that the enemy of our soul, not your neighbor, but the enemy of your soul, Satan himself, is trying to do everything he can to get you to the point that you're so discouraged that you just want to throw your hands up and quit. You get so discouraged that it seems like that the struggle to continue is more so than it's ever been in all of your life. I don't know, and Brother Jones might be able to tell me this in his studies, but every year I think there's somewhere, if not more, about 7,000 pastors a year walk away from the church and quit because of the tension and because of how hard it is these days to do what we do. And you'll have to forgive me for drinking water tonight. I don't know why, but I'm just dried out. So I begin to think about the few statements that I made just then. And that's where this message was in my heart. If you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 26, I want to start reading here this evening in verse number 36. Before we go into this message, I don't have a long message tonight. Matter of fact, I've got very few notes. I just got something on my heart. Ma'am? Yes, we will. You sit there and we'll pray for you. Pray for Shelba. Stretch your hand towards her. Can't see as good. Father, we love you. We honor you, we praise you, and we magnify your name. Father, we pray for Shelba that you touch her, God, that you help her. That God, that you bring healing to her body, Father. And Lord, we know, God, that you're able to do that. And I know, God, that you can. And Lord, I pray, God, even right now that you touch Shelba. Give her healing in her body. Touch her eyes, Lord, and touch her body, Father. Bring healing to her, Father. God, we love you and honor you and we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You need to sit there. You need to go up. Tension. Tension, tension, tension. Stress, anxiety, problems, gas prices. That's enough, right? But I want you to look at something in the scripture, and then I'll explain why I'm here this evening in this particular set of scriptures. Matthew 26, again in verse number 36, says these words. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, his disciples. And saith unto the disciples, set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41 says, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Stretch your hand this way and pray over me this evening. Father, I do love you tonight. And Father, I do thank you, God. I thank you, Father God, for the amazing Spirit of God that comes down and speaks to us. That God, that you, Lord, alone are able to take this time that you've given us tonight. And Father God, and encourage the people of God. And to help us, oh God, to focus our attention upon you. Father, I pray, God, even now as we share this message that you've laid into my heart, I pray, God, that I would be able to do it under the unction of the Holy Ghost, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Father, give us ears to hear and a spirit to perceive the very things that you, oh God, would have us to know and learn and understand here tonight. Father, touch every person in this room. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I took for a title this evening to this message, Going On with Jesus. Going On with Jesus. And the reason that I did that, or walking with Jesus, as I sent it two different ways, the reason that I did that is I began to think about us. I began to think about what all's going on in our world today. I begin to think about everything in our lives today and everything I've already talked about. I'm not saying that there's anybody here this evening that has got a quit mentality. I'm not saying that at all. But I just come by long enough this evening to tell you not to grow weary in well-doing. Paul said, in due time, you shall reap if you faint not. There's not a person in this room at some point in your life that's not grown weary in your physical person or your spiritual being. The question that I would have as we open this up, or the statement that I would make, is simply this. We've got to keep going. Amen? We've got to keep going on for Jesus. We've got to keep walking on with Jesus. I know that we've not arrived yet. We're not in heaven yet. We've not heard the Lord say, well done. I remember just today, as we've already talked about our grandchildren, Riker, the youngest one, he's 6 years old. I hadn't been out the driveway 2 minutes or 3 minutes maybe, and he said, are we about there? Yeah, really. We just got right up at the road up near Mount Zion Road, and we live right below Mount Zion Church Road down there. We just barely got up the road, and he said, are we there yet? In the mind of a child, the anticipation of going somewhere that they've never been or somewhere where they've not been in a very long time. It's just, now I didn't know all this. I didn't even know he was going to say that when I knew I was going to preach this. But how many of you in this room are saying, are we there yet? We're not there yet. But we're on our way. And the thing that I believe the Lord has been dealing with my heart, even as I heard him say that this morning, the thing that's on my heart, we ask ourselves this evening, how much further is it? How much longer are we going to have to stay in the battle, Miss Sandra? How long is it till Jesus comes? Now, there's not a person in this room, and this is not my notes. There's not a person in this room that I know of, besides Raymond, that's ready to die or wanting to die. I'm picking on Raymond. He tells me all the time, I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm just ready to go see Jesus. Hey, you're going to stay around here to keep me straight, Raymond. None of us want to talk about dying, okay? But we do want to talk about Jesus coming. We do want to talk about the coming of the Lord. We do want to talk about the things that John saw as he was there on the Isle of Patmos. We do want to talk about the fact that the Lord said that there'd be no sorrow, no tears, no dying, no crying, no pain in that glorious land called heaven. So the thing that I would think in my own mind, my own heart this evening, we would say, how much further is it? How much further is it? I don't know, folks. It could be another year. It could be 2 years. It could be less time than that for some that may go by the grave. I don't know. I may not ever preach in this pulpit again after I preach this sermon tonight. I have no idea. But we got to be ready. My mind, when I begin to think about this message, I begin to think about walking on with Jesus. I begin to think about when Jesus was there and Jesus knowing the cross that was before him. No doubt in my mind, Jesus knew the pain. He was all God, but he was all human. I can only imagine in my mind, in my heart, of what Jesus was going through, and there's no way I can imagine that. There's no way I can imagine that. But knowing that just in a day or two, or just right around the corner, that he was going to face the cross. He was there in the garden and he was praying. So what do you do when you go through these moments of uncertainty? The first thing I've seen that Jesus did, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. I want to say it like this, and this may not be the way it needs to be said, but this is the way I feel it. He took his troubles to the Lord and he left them there. He took them to the Father. He took them to God. He took them to the right place. You and I, when we think about heaven, we think about going to heaven, we think about how much further is it? How much further is it going to be? And again, I don't know the answer to that. But here's the thing, I believe that I was working on this little outline, and I believe the Lord spoke to my heart. And this is what I feel like the Lord told me to tell you. And it may be, but for one person here tonight, I don't know a person watching online or a person here, but this is just what I hear God saying, is don't quit too soon. Don't quit too early. Hey, great is the reward in heaven. Great is the reward in heaven to them that stays in the fight. God has a breakthrough for you. Don't quit. The Bible lets us know that Jesus told his disciples to pray. Jesus went to pray. His disciples was right there. They fell asleep. And I'll maybe get into that a little bit later on. But Jesus there, when the Bible said, and we think about that what Jesus did, this is what we've got to do. We've got to do what Jesus did. Jesus prayed. And then the second thing is Jesus, I love this, that Jesus, oh, I really like this. Jesus pressed through all his opposition. If we're going to walk with Jesus, or if we're going to make it, we got to pray. I may hit that again before we close about 10 o'clock tonight. Just kidding. I'll talk about that a little bit. But sometimes we've got to press through all the opposition. There's opposition around everybody in this room at some point in your life. Paul, again, in the book of Philippians there, he tells the church and he tells them, he said, I press for the prize of the high call of God. Look to your neighbor and say, sometimes you got to press on. Sometimes you just got to press on. The obstacles are there. Then, how do you walk with Jesus? The second thing I see is this. That Jesus was willing to be obedient to the Father. Watch this. Even, I'm going to say this two different ways. Even when he felt isolated from everyone else. Isaiah says that he was rejected of men. He was despised. Jesus there, he asked his disciples to stay here and pray. Now, I know there's great theological thought that could go in there because they might not have been able, and Sherry and I mentioned this to her earlier, they might not have been able to go where Jesus went because they were not the ones getting ready to die. Jesus had to go have that communion with his Father. Jesus had to go and have that intimacy with his Father in order for him to be strengthened to do what he was getting ready to do. But going back for just a second, what do you do? What do you do when you feel like you're all alone? What do you do when you feel like your whole entire life has been isolated? Well, I want to say this, and insulated. There's two different ways of saying that. But when you feel like that you walk by yourself, and this is what Jesus did. Think about Jesus again in this message because Jesus was there. And you see this in this text. You see this in what Jesus began to do. Jesus in this scripture text, the Bible said in verse number 39, and Jesus went a little farther. And I'll say it the way I feel it. If we're going to make it to heaven, sometimes we've got to be willing to do what others are not willing to do. Sometimes we got to be willing to take on what others are not willing to take on in order for us to be able to finish the race. Paul did that. Again, Paul talked about this with young Timothy. He said, I finished my race. I finished the course. And henceforth, there's laid up a crown of righteousness. He said, for me, not only for me, but unto all of them that love his appearing. I think Paul, again, he made different analogies about this. I remember reading in a couple of different places I'll get to in a few minutes. But Jesus prayed. Jesus was willing to go further in verse number 39. And the Bible said he fell on his face. And he said, the Bible said, and he prayed. Who would even know that prayer is a weapon? I begin to think about that. The young children in Sunday school class, in Dina's class on Sunday morning, is learning about Ephesians 6. They're learning about the spiritual warfare. And Chris's class has already done that in the teen class, putting on the whole armor of God. And he said, you do this that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the devil. Again, we see where Jesus in the scripture text, he went a little further and he prayed. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. I want to turn for just a minute to Matthew chapter 6. And we can see here in a couple of different places where Jesus did this. And Jesus actually opened this up. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse number, let me turn there and I'll tell you. In verse number 5, he says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you pray, he said, when you pray, he said, enter into thy closet. Over the last few days, I've been thinking about those very words right there. Now, I didn't write the scripture down, But I talked about it last weekend, where the Bible said that he would hide you in his pavilion, and he would put you under his wings, just like a mother hen would put her chicks under her wings. And that's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. It's a place that we can be safely held in his care against all the wiles, all the attacks of the enemy. We do spiritual warfare on our knees, guys. We do spiritual warfare praying and seeking God when we battle in the spirit. Prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest commodities that God's ever given to the church. I begin to think about what Jesus said here, because Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door. Shut the door. It's that place that there's nobody there but you and God. And Jesus was this greatest example of this. When Jesus went there into that garden, he shut out everything else. Those of you that was here on Wednesday night, we were talking on a message about what God was saying, and are we listening? What is it that God is saying to his church today? Have we given God our ear? And I told you the story of how I was walking through my garage, and it may happen to you different ways, but it can happen anywhere with me. And God said, are you listening? Are you hearing me? And I was saying, God, I need to hear from heaven. I need to hear from you. In all reality, there's absolutely no way, folks, no way for us to go any further into the future until we hear from God. Are we going to exist? Oh, yeah. Are we going to make it? Oh, yeah. So did that church of Ephesus. They were a sleeping church. They went to sleep. He says that in the book of Ephesians. He says, awake out of your sleep. And then we see them in the book of Revelation as they were the church that left their first love. We see all of that over there. But I was saying Wednesday, and kind of tying it together here, of where the Lord's speaking to us. And if we're going to move from this point right now, and we've got to go further. We've got to go further than we've ever been. And the reason I say that is because the challenges that is before the church right now are more than they've ever been in all of our days. I believe that. I believe that. The challenges that is in front of the church at this point, at the pinnacle, if you will, at this church, that you can disagree with me or you can agree with me or whatever you want to do. But I believe that Thomasville is at this point, call it a pinnacle, if you will. Either we're going to formulate a plan of action, if you will, to move forward into the future, or we're going to plateau. And if you read Peter Wagner's book on the church, every church that ever plateaued either does one or two different things. They'll plateau, and then they'll slide down a slippery slope. And then he talks about, in his book, he talks about like the five different phases of a church. Whether it be a mission, whether it be a movement with a message. And then you see that this pinnacle takes place. And then it goes to the place where the church begins to slide backwards, and it goes in the opposite direction. Then it becomes like a mortuary, if you will. And then it becomes like a monument, if you will. And we idolize the church, and we idolize what we've done. And it's a monument. And then, once we make it a monument, then it slides backwards to the point that it becomes a mortuary, and it dies. And I don't want to die. I don't want to die tonight. I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. And then after it becomes this mortuary, it's nothing more than a museum. A museum is where things used to happen. We put things out there, and we put them in a museum, whether it's archaic something or whether it's something that pre-existed years ago. This used to be a church. This used to be a movement. This used to be what God would do. My friend, listen to my heart. If there's anything that we've got to do, we've got to establish prayer. We've got to pray until something happens. We've got to seek the Lord again until all the glory of God comes down and the fire of God fills the people of God. And we get direction from Him. I don't want to just be a monument. I don't want to be a mortuary. I don't want to be something that people just come by and look at and gaze upon and say, yeah, I remember when that church used to be. I don't want to do that. I want to go back to we can see a mighty move of the Holy Ghost of God and the fire of God coming down from heaven and it filled all the place where they were sitting. Jesus was willing to go a little further. That's my question this evening, walking with Jesus. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go and to do what Jesus is calling us to do in the day and the hour that we're living in? I celebrate everything that's ever been done. And I'm going to do that and I'm going to kick my heels up and I'm going to celebrate everything that everybody's ever done for this church in the past. But I'm going to tell you something. If we're not very, very careful, we'll celebrate the past without any vision for the future. Are you with me tonight? And we've got to go a little further. Those disciples just went over there somewhere and went to sleep. Take your ease. I talked about that this morning for a minute. We can't do that. So what does this good Paul the Apostle say as we look at what Jesus did? Again, we look at this scripture. We understand in several different places that, and I'm not going to turn there and read part of the stuff that I've read, but in Matthew chapter 13, just a few pages down, he says this in one little verse of scripture or two. Matthew 13 and 44, he says these words. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath. And he bought the field. I thought about Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That Jesus died for the field. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. And he's seen all the treasure in the field. He's seen all the souls of the field. And Jesus bought the field. And I'm thinking, if Jesus gave and died for me, what little bit can I do for him? I can go a little further. Even though sometimes it seems like it's exhausting. Even though at times it seems like it would be much easier to take a shorter route home or an easier route home. Maybe it's just because I'm a pastor and our leadership, I don't know, I pray. But there's something that drives me back to church. There's something that drives me back into His presence. There's something that drives me, Brother Bob, when I can't go a day without feeling His Holy Ghost and feeling His hand laid upon my life. And I'm saying, God, do that again for us. Do that again for us. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him we owe. Look at this. Paul the Apostle talked about this. Again, in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I love these verses of scripture. Going there to verse 7. And I appreciate Jan tonight. She's doing a great job. We're looking here at Philippians chapter 3, and then we're looking here in verse number 7. Look at this. Oh, this is so good tonight. I mentioned this, I think, last Sunday or long through there. When we begin to think about all that I have done. All that I have done. In comparison to what Jesus did. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. In other words, Paul was saying, my life is dedicated to His service. Wow, what a mentality. Those things that would be gained to me, I count all of those things as loss for Christ alone. Jesus went a little further. He was willing to give of Himself. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do? Are we willing to give up our time? Are we willing to take a little time out during the week and do something that we ordinarily wouldn't do for Him? And again, I don't know what that would be. There would probably be 100 different things I could name. Only you know what God's speaking to you. Be the church. Be the voice. Ask somebody if they've got a salvation story. Hello? Dina, I'm going to pick on you. If that's okay. It'll be easy. Dina brought me a little cross the other day. Matter of fact, you got one laying on your table in there. It's a little wet, but she gave me a little cross. Put that cross in my pocket. Now, all of you know the cross in my pocket. Some of you probably got a cross in your pocket. I don't know. You do? But she gave me this little wooden cross. She said, you can make these. I stuck it in my pocket. I carried it around 2 or 3 days. And I thought, I wonder how neat that would be to have that little cross in your pocket and say, have you got a salvation story? Let me tell you about this little wooden cross. You know what I mean? That sounds so silly. But all week long, I thought about that. I thought about how simple, thank you. Your daddy gave that to you? Well, don't lose it. How simple that would be. Have I told you about the cross? No. Simple things. Simple things. We've been talking about Romans Road to salvation and go through that whole thing with somebody. And you think, well, that was the silliest thing I ever heard of in all my life. Use the tools that God has given you. Use the tools. Now, I know that was off record. That wasn't in my notes. But Paul said here in the scripture, what things would I count would gain to me for my benefit? Those I counted lost for Christ. Look at verse 8 and following in the scripture text. And this is where he says this. He says, yea, in verse number 8, he says here in the scripture, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. Everything else, just let me go a little further. Just let me be the servant that God has called me to be. Somebody says, well, you're the pastor. You ought to have that kind of mindset. You ought to have that kind of heart. Hey, I do. Sherry and I've talked about this. Sometimes she gets mad at me and she'll say, what do you want to do? I said, it don't matter what I want to do. It don't matter about me. And she hates that answer because she says, it makes you feel like you're not important. I said, it's not like that. I said, what matters to me is doing the things that God wants us to do. Somebody said, well, you're too heavenly minded that you ain't no earthly good. I don't know what I am sometimes. But I just want to see God do something. Amen? I just want God to show up. I really do. I want to see God show up and do something in our lives and see young people come. Brother Steve, there's young people all around us that needs to hear your story. Just start telling it. Just start telling your story. We had 3 or 4 people here today that just told a salvation story. Somebody says, well, I'll get fired if I talk about it on my job. Well, figure out another way to do it. You know, I'd carry a little cross in my pocket. But we look at this again, and Paul says this in the Word. He said, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and righteousness which is of God. Look at verse 10 and following. That I may know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Somebody said, I don't like suffering. I like it easy, pleasy, cheesy. I like it gentle. Ain't nobody likes it rough. Ain't nobody wants to go through the things. But yet in the same respect, I hear Paul telling a young evangelist, sometimes, Timothy, you've got to be willing to go a little farther. What's tonight's message about? Going a little bit further. It's quitting too early. Sometimes you feel isolated. Sometimes you may not have a friend in the world, but you got to keep. Somebody said, I got a friend in Jesus. Amen. We got to keep on keeping on for His glory. We got to take it to God in prayer. We've got to pray it through. We've got to pick up our cross. We've got to follow Him. And we've got to be all that God would have us to be. Now, Paul told young Timothy, I'm going to get to that in a minute because I don't want to bounce off of this and bounce back. But he says this, that I may know Him. And it says, in the power of His resurrection. And then we look at this word, and he says there in verse number 10, the latter part. He says, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then Paul talks about, not that I had already attained, as he says that in verse 12, either had already been perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. In other words, I want to follow after Christ. I want to do everything I can for Christ. I want to be apprehended by Him to do what He's called me to do. Is that not awesome? I want God to apprehend me. I want God to put me in handcuffs, if you will. I want to be counted for Him. But Jesus told those disciples, you've got to go a little further. And it's not by works, lest any man should boast. I understand that. Jensen Franklin says it like this. He says, I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. I'm almost done. Because this has been a load this evening in a little bit of time. Paul told young Timothy, when we look at this, and again, you can go down in these Philippian verses here where Paul, I've already mentioned them. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. I'm reaching forth to those things which are in front of me. I press for the prize, the high calling of God. Paul says that, but Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy, you can turn there if you want to. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 1. I boogered this up. I'm sure I did because I didn't write all my text down. I'll find it really fast. This is what Paul says to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 1 through 4. I knew I didn't write something down right. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Look in verse number 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But yet we see this in Paul again telling Timothy in the scripture. That sometimes you've got to go through the hardship of it all. And I did write that down wrong, but I'll find it. But he tells him this in the scripture. Paul says, he looks at young Timothy, and he says that you've got to endure hardness. That's in 2 Timothy 2, in the first part of that. He says, you've got to thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord. That no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Sometimes you may go through a few things, but I hear again in my ear tonight, the Holy Spirit says, tell them to go a little further. Just keep going. The last place, I'm going to cut it shorter than I thought. This is where I'm going to kind of try to leave this with you tonight. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I know that you know the scripture as well as I do. And I've read this scripture I don't know how many times. But I'm going to read it to you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all. We're all running. Amen? We're all running. Hey, I got to back up for a minute. The only way I can say it's the way I hear it. They got to say it right because it don't sound right. I hate it when that happens. It don't sound right in my mind, but I need to say it the way. Don't let your endurance cripple you. By that I mean the thing you're trying to do, don't let it become the object of crippling you. By that I'm just simply, I simply mean this. Don't get to the place that you get so bogged down with coming to church that it would cripple you to the point that you say, I don't even think I need to go anymore. I guess I'm trying to say, if you just come to church for the sake of coming to church, it could really become a problem. It could really become a hindrance or something to your spiritual walk if you're just coming to church for the sake of coming to church. Don't let what you're trying to accomplish cripple you. I like that song that they sing, Falling in Love with Jesus. Because if you fall in love with Jesus, sure, that's not going to cripple you, my friend. Don't take on things that you ought not to be taking on. If it ain't your thing, don't do it. Let somebody else do it. There's a lot of jobs in this church. And you know what? I have to kind of oversee everything, and I do. But there's a lot of things in this church I can't do, and a lot of things I don't want to start learning how to do. Running that sound system right back there is one of them. I appreciate the fact that they're doing it, but I can't be up here and back there at the same time. And Brother Jones, I remember a time, and this is where I got this from. I remember a time when I was at another church not far from here. Ain't that nice? I didn't say, where's that? Monroe. But anyway, I'll say that later. But everybody just got so lazy. I would literally have to leave the pulpit and go back to the sound booth and adjust my own soundboard from my microphone. Because there wasn't nobody there that would be willing to pick up the responsibility of doing it. That'll cripple you. That'll cripple you. When it gets so hard on you to do what God's wanting you to do, it could possibly throw your hands up. Does that maybe make sense? I just don't even know where I studied. I didn't study. I didn't even come into my mind until just then. Don't let ministry be so hard that it cripples you. A lot of guys, Brother Jones, have been crippled because of preaching. Just do it for God. I can't say Brother Steve no more because there's a Steve and a Steve. I look that way, there's a Steve right there. So I got a Steve's all around me. So I have to make sure I'm saying the right Steve. Any more Steves in the room? But here's the thing. When you look at this scripture, this is what Paul was saying. Paul was saying in the scripture, he said in verse 24, he said, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Who is that one that receives the prize? They that endure to the end. Again, my mind goes back to Galatians, not to grow weary in well-doing, but in due time you shall reap if you faint not. Don't grow weary. Jesus there in the garden praying, went a little further. He found his disciples asleep. He was there alone. He was seemingly isolated. He was there, but he prayed and he sought God. He sought the Father, and he went a little further. Verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And he says in verse 26, so therefore, so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul says this in 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or I have been disqualified. Jesus, I'm going to leave it here. When Jesus prayed, Luke wrote what Matthew wrote, and he wrote it in Luke 22. You can go there and read verse 39 down through verse 46. And the Bible says that Jesus, he agonized with God in the garden. He wrestled in his mind and he wrestled to be able to do what he'd done. And the Bible says there in Luke that His the blood, the sweat of his brow becomes as great drops of blood. And there's a medical term for that, and I can't even pronounce it, and I didn't even try to pronounce it. But it can happen because of the anguish in these blood vessels and things there in the forehead. It's like Jesus cried and Jesus pleaded so much that his sweat became as great drops of blood. But Sandra, when you look at the end of that, Jesus finally looked back at the Father when he found them asleep. And he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." This is how we, the church, will be able to move forward in the future. It's when we get to that place through, whether we have to go through anguish, whether we have to be in whatever we have to go through, that all of us corporately, we agree together and we say this together: God, whatever we got to do, we're going to do it together. But God, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus showed us that in the Word, that he was willing to go a little further. Remember in the scripture, and you can stand with me, remember in the scripture when Jesus was there and Jesus was baptized and Jesus heard as he was there the voice out of the heaven saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I don't know about you, but I want to hear the Lord say that one of these days. You say, "Preacher, is there some battles in front of us?" I'm sure there is. Are there some weariness in front of us? I'm sure they are. Is there anxiety in front of us somewhere? There very possibly could be. But here's the thing. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. As he was with them, so shall he be with us. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you and praise you. We honor you, O God, for the word. Let us go, Father. Let us go on a little further. Let us, as the church, move forward into the destiny of the future of the Thomasville Church of God. Father God, let us move together. Let us move together by the power of the Spirit. Oh God, even now, to become your people, God, and we would be and do the very things that you've called us to do and be the very people that you want us to be. Father, help us to keep this message fresh on our mind as we leave this place tonight. Lord, that we not grow weary in well-doing. Lord, we don't let the thing that we're doing cripple us. We don't let ministry cripple us. We don't let duties and responsibilities cripple us. Oh, Father, but we go forward in victory, doing the very things that you called us to do. And that is to lead souls to you. Oh, Father God, touch us tonight. And Lord, I thank you for your touch upon this congregation. Father God, you said in your word, "To him that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." And help us be your church in all that we endeavor to do, that we might please you and bring you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you again for being here tonight. Make up your mind. I'm going to make it to heaven. Nothing going to stop me now. Amen. God bless you as you go. In Jesus' name.